Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
We're just going to read the Bible today. 2 Peter chapter 1. Next week, we'll declare the Apostles' Creed together and what we believe. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 11 today. If you need notes today, you can scan the QR code that's on the seat back in front of you after you sit back down, and there's notes that you can follow along with today. We got something going on. Hey, baby, don't worry about it. I got notes. Dale got me. We're good. Thank you very much. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That statement right there is the basis for what we're talking about today. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together today. Holy Father, blessed Son, promised Spirit, help us to hear and heed your word today. For your word is a light to our path that gives us supernatural guidance. Your word's spiritual nourishment that our souls desperately need. Let our hands and our hearts be cleansed from the filth of the world. As we listen and learn, may we be encouraged, adjusted, built up, instructed, chastised, and made aware of your precious love for your bride. We desire to be ready when you return as our victorious King. Be glorified in your church. Amen. You can be seated. I was just thinking as I was reading that passage, my good friend James Cunningham and his family are here today. It's wonderful to have the Cunningham family with us. But James actually wrote a book years ago called Never Stumble. Was that the title?
Never Fall.
Never Fall. Okay. But it was based off this passage of scripture, no? And I remember reading that book, probably one of the first books I ever read from start to finish, just because my friend had written it, and I thought that was so cool. Incredible book. But James, it's awesome to see you guys and to have you all with us today. All right, so we're talking about the lie of lack. So this is week two of the lie of lack. Last week we talked about the abundance that we have, and the only way we can access that abundance is coming through the way Jesus Christ. I want you to know this today. Jesus is not gatekeeping the life of abundance. He's the way. He is the gate. He is the door. He's not trying to keep people from a life of enough. He's trying to welcome you into a life of more than enough. And so when we are as believers in Jesus Christ, I'm not just talking about people that have good morals, people that think the right way and, you know, power of positivity. I'm talking about people that are in Christ, rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. You will not live in lack. You may experience lack, but you don't have to stay in lack. You are welcomed into a kingdom of abundance. We defined last week that lack is a noun. It's the state of being without or not having enough of something. I want you to know that as believers in Jesus Christ the righteous, you are not without or not having enough. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing. In fact, not next week, because we're going to have a special guest next week, and I want all of you to come and be with us. His name is Joel Stockstill. He's an awesome man of God. I'd love for you to come and be under his ministry next week. But the next week, we're going to wrap up this series, and we're going to talk out of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it says, "Thanks be to God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Every blessing that you need spiritually has been given to you through the blessing of your Father. Jesus said, how many of you guys being good, you know, being earthly, being evil people, just normal everyday people, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a snake? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a scorpion? No, no, no. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's a wonderful and absolutely perfect Father, and he blesses us. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. He said, how I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know that you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't always have the chance to help. Not that I was ever in need. Notice that. Because remember, lack is a lie that we have to believe. You as a believer in Jesus Christ are never truly in need. Remember what David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Some translations say, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Paul's saying, you guys are worried about me, but I was never really in need. And he's going to explain to us why. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. That's how we get to the place of realizing that lack is a lie, is because in Jesus Christ, we can actually get to the place of contentment where it's not about what we have externally, because we know we have the hope of him living on the inside of us. So he says, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation. That's my prayer for you today. That you, like Paul, through the help of the Holy Spirit, will learn the secret of living in every situation. You know, there's more to living than being alive. Anne Boleyn quote, James. There's more to living than being alive. It's an old alternative rock, Christian rock band that I used to listen to, okay? But it's a great quote. There truly is. He's saying, I want you to learn the art or the secret of living in every situation. Not just being alive, not just making it through, but being alive, thriving, being vibrant, having the blessing of God no matter what you're doing. He says, in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty stomach. We're fasting, so that hits really hard, right? With plenty or with little. Verse 13, for I can do everything through Christ. I believe that living a life of abundance can be summed up in that statement right there. It's not that you have everything, it's that you can do anything. It's that you can make it through. It's that he will sustain you. He will be with you. He will be for you. So I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in your present difficulty. Now let's go back to what Peter said. By his divine power, he has given to us everything that pertains both to life and to godliness. Let's define what he has given us. Okay, so life is the Greek word zoe, and it literally means life, both physical and spiritual. So in this instance, when he says that God has given us by his divine power everything that pertains to life, it's the Greek word zoe, which is what we named our daughter, who's 6 years old, and she is definitely full of zoe. Sometimes it's more physical than spiritual, but we're working on that. In this instance, though, it speaks to our physical needs and our spiritual regeneration. He has given us everything that we need physically and spiritually. Remember, we talked about last week, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that we don't have to worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. Those are the type of things that the Gentiles, those that are separated from God, they worry about those things, but we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. He says that the young lions in the book of Psalms, they want and they suffer lack, but he will not, but we won't lack any good thing. Those who seek him will lack no good thing. And so we have been given that from God. We've been given physical and spiritual life. Now, he also says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I really want to hone in and focus on godliness today, because the fact that you're sitting here today is proof that he's given you life, physical life. You're living, you're breathing, you're eating, you're you know, you may have some things that you need God to touch, or you need him to help you with, or you need him to heal you of, but you're here. He's blessed you with the ability to be here. But I want to talk about godliness, because godliness, it simply means godlikeness. You remember what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27? God speaks and he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. We're called to bear the image of Christ. And so he's, and you may say, well, I would love to bear the image of Christ. Jesus said the same works that I do and greater works will you do because I go to the Father. And I think sometimes we read that more like, how could we possibly do what Jesus did? Looking at the signs and the wonders and the miracles, he turned water into wine. He multiplied bread and fish enough to feed 5,000 people. He called the dead back to life. He laid hands on the blind and he gave strength to the feeble legs of the lame. How could we do those things? He said, because I go to my Father. And because he went to the Father, he sent us a helper, an advocate, a paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who dwells inside of us and gives us strength and power and the ability to do what we can't do in and of ourselves, and that starts not just with what we can do outside, but what he wants to do on the inside, changing us and conforming us into the image of his likeness. So he's given you, we want to be like Christ, but I think we think it's out of touch. It's out of reach. I can't be like Jesus. I can't do the things that he did. But Peter said, I know that by his divine power, he has given to you. It's a gift. Everything that you need for physical, spiritual life, and for God-likeness. It means holiness, piety. You know, the Word of God says in multiple places, be holy as I am holy. And I think sometimes we wrestle with that because we're like, can we, as imperfect beings, really be holy? Yes, we can. Because if the Word of God instructs it, puts it out before us, then the Holy Spirit will empower us to be able to do what we cannot do by ourselves. The word piety, it means the quality of being religious or reverent. Now I want to show you a graph here. If you'll go to the next slide, please, Caleb. Right here. Now this was interesting to me, and maybe I'm just a nerd and maybe you don't care at all. But this is the use of the word piety, both in literature and in common vernacular, from 1800 to 2019. And the mentions of how many times it's used. Look at how often it is used from 1800 to about 1835. And then it goes on a steady decline with just kind of some little ups and downs along the way. But look how little the word piety is used in our common vernacular. When was the last time you heard someone use the word piety? But if you read, never, thank you for being honest. One time I called a horse cantankerous and Jeff said, I've never heard that word in my life. I said, horse? And he said, no, cantankerous. I'm just kidding. But the use of the word piety over time, look how little it is. But remember what piety is. It's the quality of being religious. Also, if you look at the world from 1800 to 2026, where we are today, it's a much less reverent and religious world because we're not pious anymore. Not only are we not pious, most people, even in church, care nothing about piety. I'm righteous because he's righteous, okay? There is truth to that, but there's also working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's realizing God has given me everything for piety, but I still have to walk it out. I still have to live in obedience. I still have to live in submission to the Holy Spirit. I will not just be God-like and religious and pious without having the heart and the actions that say, God, I want to serve you with piety. It says, as his divine power has given to us everything that pertains to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So knowledge in the Greek means acknowledgement or recognition. So by the acknowledgement of him, I think knowledge, it's not just something that God imparted into us. In fact, Paul would put it this way in Titus. He said, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live righteously and soberly even in this present age. So the grace of God has appeared to all men, but not all men are walking in the grace of God. What is grace? It's favor. It's unmerited favor that comes and is transferred and bestowed on us by God. The grace of God is for everyone, but not everyone is in the grace of God. The love of God is for everyone, but John would tell us if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. It's not that God doesn't love us. It means that we have not accepted and received the love of God inside of our heart. And that's what Peter is explaining here. He's saying by the knowledge. When he says knowledge, it's actually better translated by the acknowledgement of him. Not the knowledge of him, something that someone told you about him, but by acknowledging him. And actually, if you search out the Greek help study of this word, it means that it can only come through close personal interaction. That we can draw near to him and he will draw near to us. Why? Because he already gave us the gift of Jesus Christ, his son. God made the first move by sending Jesus. He made even further moves by giving us his word. He made even a greater move by giving us the Holy Spirit that we can call upon. But how many times do we not acknowledge God? And then we wonder, where's the life? Where's the godliness? Where's the blessings? Where's the abundance? I used last week the story of the young boy that had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He didn't have to give those up. Everybody else was hungry. Jesus had told his disciples, you guys feed them. You guys give them something to eat. They said, we don't have anything to eat. And then this little boy comes up and he has 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could have kept it for himself. He could have said, no, I'm worried that I won't have enough to eat if I give it to you. But instead, he acknowledged, I believe, the fact that the master could perform miracles if he would just surrender what little he had. And so I'm telling you today that when you come into a life of abundance and blessing, not just physically, but spiritually. Because Paul said, look, I've learned how to be with and without. Whether I'm hungry, whether I'm full, I have a full belly, whether my bank account is looking good or I'm rubbing pennies together, no matter what it is, I'm going to be okay. I wasn't ever really in need, because Paul had a deeper understanding that true abundance and fulfillment was not found in earthly things. It's not in physical things. Because remember, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he said, what do I still lack? He had everything money could buy, but he was still lacking in something. Jesus said, this one thing you lack, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And he went away because he was worried, because he chose his earthly possessions over spiritual regeneration. And so we have to understand that God is welcoming us into a life of abundance, but that doesn't mean that, bless God, I'm going to check the mail for $1 million, or I'm going to look in the mail for $1 million check tomorrow, right? Now, if it comes, praise God. Just make sure that we tithe on it, right? That's a pastor joke. I'm sorry. That could be taken the wrong way. All right. Through the knowledge of him who called us, so acknowledgement, recognition, full discernment, knowledge. Now, I started thinking about this and what it means to acknowledge God, and I decided we would use a little bit of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is basically scripture sleuthing, okay? Anybody like mysteries? My wife loves reading mystery books. I like watching some mystery movies with her, but some of like the Hallmark movies, but some of them are just so bad. It's like, that guy's the bad guy. I know it. I don't prophesy in part. I know in part. That dude's, he's dirty. I can see it all over him. You know why? Because he played a bad guy in the last one, right? And I can just remember, it's like, he's always, like, my boys love watching Westerns, and anytime a new character shows up on a Western, my boys all at the same time yell, he's always a bad guy. So, like, you know, he's always, right, Jeff? Like, when you watch Gunsmoke or Bonanza, like, certain characters are always bad guys, right? But anyways, we're going to do a little scripture sleuthing, hermeneutics, scripture interprets scripture. What does it mean to, what happens when we acknowledge him? Because we're talking about not living in lack, but living in abundance. Well, this was in our daily Bible reading. And I want to encourage you, we are reading the Bible through in a year as a church, or at least we're encouraging everyone to. If you're late on the bandwagon, just jump in now. There's printouts at the booth. There's a QR code that you can scan. There's a digital PDF that you can get and you can follow and you can read along with us. This was in our scripture reading yesterday. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Solomon, writing in wisdom, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Remember what knowledge means? By the knowledge of him who called us. And that word knowledge means acknowledgement or recognition. So Solomon is saying, in all your ways, acknowledge him, listen, and he shall direct your paths. Now, let's use some further scripture sleuthing to find out what his paths are. Psalm chapter 65, verse 11. David says, you crown the year. That means you encircle it from January, which they didn't go by the Gregorian calendar, but a year is a year, right? From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, it's all got the goodness of God on it. I love what my grandmother told me one time when I was younger. You know, the book of Psalms says that God daily loads us with his benefits. My grandmother said, if God daily loads us with his benefits, then we should take the responsibility to daily look for them. How many times do we miss the benefits that God has for us in the day because we're not looking for his benefits? We're too focused on what's going wrong. We're too focused on people, how they treated us, how they drove in front of us, right? Look for those benefits. You crown the year with your goodness. Listen to this, your paths. Now remember what it says in Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways acknowledge him, he will direct your paths. So he'll show you the path to walk on. In Psalm 65, your paths drip with abundance. The path that God has for you to walk in is not a path of lack. It's a path of abundance. But we will miss the path when we fail to acknowledge him in all of our ways. You know, maybe you're living, and I don't mean to be hyperbolic, but maybe you're living in a way that, you know, you acknowledge God in some things, but not in others. And maybe that's why you have abundance in some areas and lack in other areas. Maybe you're abundant financially, but you're lacking physically. Maybe you have abundance of physical health. You've just been blessed with good indigestion, but you are lacking in mental health. Maybe your mental health is fine, but you're lacking relationally. Maybe you need a better job. Maybe you need to get out of debt. Maybe you need God to move and break through in an area that you can't do it for yourself and you need him to perform a miracle. I believe that in every area that we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths and his paths drip with abundance. So my question is, are you acknowledging him? Are you recognizing him and saying, God, I recognize you. I acknowledge you in my job. I acknowledge you in my parenting. I acknowledge you in my relationships. I acknowledge you in my pursuit of you. I think the greatest thing that you can do is wake up every single morning and tell him, I acknowledge you. I recognize you're God and I'm not. I didn't create myself. I am a sheep in your pasture and I need you to be my shepherd and to guide me. And so what I want to do really quickly as we begin to wrap up today is I want to give you three ways to acknowledge God in all of your ways. So you may read that. Okay, acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your paths. Probably many of you could quote that scripture. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But what does it mean to acknowledge him in every way? How do we do that? I want to give you three very, very simple things that you can do to acknowledge God. Number one, prayer. Just prayer. I love what Charles Spurgeon said, pray until you can pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. Well, here's a really good starting point for you. During these 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're encouraging the entire church to pray the Lord's Prayer with us 3 times a day. I'm praying it personally at 7:30 a.m., 12 o'clock noon, and 5 p.m. I have an alarm on my phone. Judah has an alarm on his phone. They go off at the exact same time. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we stop as a family and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we go through it all together. Zoe does it. Bishop catches the last word of every sentence. And it's the cutest thing. It's awesome. But that's a way that you can start praying. What is prayer other than acknowledging God? Because you don't speak to someone or something that you don't believe exists. You don't speak to someone or something that you don't want to communicate with or that you don't need something from. And so prayer is the main way that we acknowledge God. And that's why I encourage everyone to start your day with prayer. I've had people tell me before, you know, nighttime just works better for me for devotion. I'm like, that's fine, but why don't you at least start the day with prayer? Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness. So I would encourage you to acknowledge him and say, God, I'm giving you everything in my life today. I acknowledge you in my job. I acknowledge you in my conversations. I acknowledge you in how I treat other people. I want to recognize, I want to give it to you. And I ask that you would lead me by your Holy Spirit. So the first way that we acknowledge him in everything is through prayer, through communication with him. And that doesn't stop when we say amen. Okay? we continue to, as Paul said, pray without ceasing. Now, when Paul said that to the first Thessalonians, do you think he really meant that you should never stop praying? No. What he meant is keep an open line of communication between you and God at all times. Don't ever go a time or to a place where he's not on your mind, where you're not consulting him, where you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, is the Holy Spirit not as much God as God the Father, God the Son? Absolutely, he is as much God as they are. And he is the helper that God has put inside of you, that he has filled you with and baptized you in, so that you can have constant communion with him no matter what you're doing. Oftentimes when I'm riding on the lawnmower, or when I'm working around here, the church, doing something, I'll just begin to pray. I'll just begin to talk to the Lord because he's right here with me. That's acknowledging him so that he directs my steps, because I want to walk in his paths, because his paths drip with abundance. You know what my paths do? My paths go astray when I follow my way. But the only way I'll find his way is by acknowledging him. And it's not just speaking to him. Prayer is listening to him. Prayer is a two-way street. I acknowledge him, and then I wait to see what he's going to say in return. Because it's a relationship, right? So number one, prayer. Number two is patience. Here's what I mean by that, patience. So many times when it comes to, let's say you come to a crossroads in your life, or let's call it a Y in the road. There's an option. You can go right, you can go left. It doesn't mean that right is correct and left is wrong. It just means that there's one way or the other that you could go. So many times we feel like we have to make a decision right away. But I would encourage you to practice patience and go, I'm going to wait and not just do what I want to do. I'm going to acknowledge God and I'm going to wait and see what he says. You know what I've learned in my life? If he doesn't say anything, then I get to choose. Right? As long as it's not a sin issue. Now, here's the main thing. If it's a sin issue, why are you even praying about it? Lord, right? Should I rip this person off? Right? No, don't even. Why are you praying about that? Right? Lord, should I lust? No. Lord, should I be a glutton? No. Don't pray about those things. I'm talking about legitimate things that it's like, I don't know. They both seem good. But there's a way that seems right unto man, but its end is death. So it's important that we pray about it. And we practice patience and we don't just jump all in head first on something, but we wait and say, God, I'm practicing patience. I'm being still before you and knowing that you are God. That means you have the first right of way. And I'm going to yield to the Holy Spirit. You know, when you go to merge onto traffic, there's a yield sign. Anytime I see a yield sign, I think of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because I want to train myself to yield to the Holy Spirit. He has the right of way. And then I'm going to follow him whichever way he goes. But we can't do that if we don't practice patience. All right, the last one is praise. So we acknowledge God in all our ways through prayer. Not just one prayer a day. God bless my day. Help me to be successful. Amen. But we pray, we communicate with him through patience. We wait and we say, God, have your way. You do what you want to do. You go first. I'll yield to you. I'm going to follow after you. And then the third one is we praise him. Praise, I think, is one of the greatest forms of acknowledgement that we can give to God in adoration, because God responds to praise. And praise goes so far beyond what we just did for about 30 minutes. I think that's a huge part of it. I love worshiping God together as the body of Christ. But you know what else I love? I love praising God when I'm at home and I'm alone, or I'm riding in the car, or I'm with my family, because praise is an attitude that we put ourselves in. In fact, so many times we are tempted to not praise because we feel discouraged, but when we're discouraged, that's the exact moment that we need to praise more than anything else. Because it says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. When you begin to feel heavy and you begin to feel burdened and you begin to feel weighty, let me tell you something. There are some times in your life that you cannot pray the depression away, but you can pray the depression away. There are times in your life when you cannot pray that heaviness and that oppression that's trying to come against you, but you begin to open your mouth and declare the praises of God, because the praises of God silences the enemy. And it's the enemy that's coming at you to steal and to kill and to destroy. But you say, I thank you, Jesus, that you came that I might have life and that more abundantly. And I lift my hands and I get on my knees and I honor you and I magnify you. Something that I do on a regular basis that I think could help you is I go through the 7 Hebrew words of praise when I'm just praying and talking to the Lord. I have them written. I have a prayer note. Let's talk about prayer some more. One area, if you want to grow in prayer, start trying scripted prayers. Many people, especially Pentecostals, are very against scripted prayer. I pray in the Spirit, so do I, but I also use scripted prayer. Here's why. Many people say, well, Jesus said, do not use vain repetitions like the hypocrites. That's what scripted prayer is. Keep reading, baby. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That is a scripted prayer that Jesus gave us to use. Okay, so if you're stagnant in prayer, try scripted prayer. If you get stagnant in scripted prayer, go away from scripted prayer because we don't want stagnant prayer. But I keep a prayer list in my phone that I will pull out and I will pray through things that God has spoken to me about this church, things that I'm asking God for in my family. I'll go through the names of God. I'll declare, you are Elroy, you are Adonai, you are El Elyon, you are El Olam, you are Jehovah Shalom, you are Jehovah Nisi. Because as I'm praying these things and it's keeping me focused as I'm praying, I'm also praising God. And I'll go through those seven Hebrew words of praise. I halal you, God. I barak, I kneel before you. I zamar, I play an instrument. I use my voice. I tehillah, I shabach. I praise you and I honor you, God. And it lifts that heaviness and it shifts my attention to him. And you know what it does? It acknowledges him. And then when I get up from that prayer time, I know he's directing my path. And his paths drip with abundance. Not lack, not being empty, not being void, not being destitute. God's will and purpose for you is not worry. It's not anxiety. It's not depression. It's not being sick. It's not being less than enough. You know, if Jesus wanted us really just to suffer along with sickness, then when people came to him while he's on this earth, he would have said, your sins are forgiven you, and stopped there. He did forgive sins, but then he said, rise, take up your bed and walk. He asked them, what do you want me to do for you? I want my blind eyes to be healed. And he would pray. He didn't actually pray for them. He just healed them. He just laid his hands on them and healed them. Because he's Jesus. He can do that. We pray for healing. Jesus just performed healing. Okay? So I want to encourage you to acknowledge God in all your ways and realize that he is leading you into a life of abundance, not into a life of lack. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. I want to just pray. Brother Dale, if you'll actually come and play something on the keyboard, that'd be wonderful. You ever wonder why we play music during altar call times? Pastor Frankie, who's going to be with us ministering in September of this year, he's one of our overseers. He taught me this a long time ago because someone came to him at his church in Onion, Alabama, and they said, why you guys got music going on? Why can't you just pray and talk to God during altar call times? And he said, he was very wise. He said, let me get back to you on that. So he went to the Holy Spirit and he said, Holy Spirit, why do we have music going during altar call times? Because in Psalm chapter 8, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth and babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Because many times when we begin to open ourselves up to the Spirit of God moving, that's when the enemy becomes in. He starts telling you, you don't need that. You're not really living in lack. You're not really without. You're not really depressed. You're not really addicted. You could stop if you wanted to. And you know what praise does according to Psalm 8:2? It silences the enemy. It silences the avenger. And that music, and why music? Because the devil, before he was the devil, he was an instrument. He hates the praise and the worship of God. And you may say, well, music isn't really praise. Zamar is. Zamar is one of those Hebrew words of praise, and it means to play an instrument. That praise, it silences the enemy. What would happen when Saul was oppressed with an evil spirit, or a dark spirit from the Lord? David would play his harp, and the spirit would go away from Saul. So I believe that today, if you will quiet yourself, if you will close your eyes and you will focus on the Lord, he will begin to pinpoint areas in your life where you've been living in lack. Where you're not like Paul to say, you know what? I'm okay with or without. Your service to God and your pursuit of God is dependent on how well things are going for you. How much money you have. How people are treating you. And today God is saying that is broken off of you. You're going to learn how to be content. Paul would also go on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain. You may say, I'm not really sure that's the life that I want to sign up for. God's not saying that you're going to be poor and you're going to be destitute. He's saying he wants to offer you what true life looks like, what true godliness looks like. If you're saying, God, I want to be a person who embraces what you have given of godliness, of godlikeness, of true holiness and reverence and piety. And so, God, I'm coming back to you. As we sang earlier, I'm coming back to the heart of worship where it's all about you. It's not about what I want. I believe that in you, you will take care of all my needs, but it's not about what I want. It's about what you want in me and what you want for me. So if that's you and that's your heart's cry today and you realize there's some areas I've been living in lack, maybe it's not natural lack, maybe it's just spiritual lack. Maybe you need to repent and say, God, I have not been acknowledging you in all of my ways. I've been doing it in my own strength. And I want to acknowledge you. You can come and find a place in the altar right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be shy. You can meet with God and just say, God, I acknowledge you in all of my ways. I put you first. I seek after you. And I believe that you're going to lead me in your paths. And your paths, they drip with abundance. Psalm chapter 23 says he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Maybe you're saying, I want to walk the righteous path, but I don't know which way to go. You would just start by saying, God, I acknowledge you because you're going to direct my paths. You're going to show me which way to go. What job to take, what relationship to be in, how to deal with this situation. So God, today we acknowledge you and we're believing that you're going to direct our paths. And I thank you that you're not a God of lack, but you're a God of more than enough. And Lord, I pray for those today that need breakthrough in their life. There's been that oppression. Even there's some people here today that you have been battling depression for weeks to months on end. And you're wondering, how long is this going to last? I don't know if I can last any longer underneath this. I believe that today, if you will acknowledge him, remember, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the acknowledgement, is a better translation, of him who called us by glory and virtue. Hear the call of the Lord today, who's calling you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Depression is not the purpose or the plan of God for any of his children. Receive the call of the Lord today. Find the joy of the Lord, which will give you strength. If that's you, just receive that today and just say, God, I acknowledge you. I'm coming out of depression. I'm coming out of oppression. I receive the joy of the Lord today. I receive the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And I acknowledge you as first place. I really feel like God has his hand on that today. Maybe there's multiple people you're dealing with depression. In fact, if with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to be able to pray with you. If you're saying, I've been battling depression or oppression, would you just lift your hands? I want to pray with you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Depression. I see that hand. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, anxiety in the heart causes depression. That word depression is one of the Hebrew words of praise, which is to bow down, to crouch, to lower oneself. So anxiety causes you to lower yourself and to bow to your circumstance. And I'm telling you today, the way that you're going to get free from depression is not from bowing to the feeling, but from bowing and acknowledging the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, when people came to Jesus blind, lame, leprous, demon-possessed, they were acknowledging he was the only one that could help them. In fact, the woman with the issue of blood, she tried all the physicians and they couldn't heal her. But when she came to Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment, she was saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she was acknowledging that she knew that the virtuous power of God was inside of that man. And when she touched him, her body became healed. Sometimes we have to humble ourselves like that woman. You say, I don't want to go up to the altar and get on my knees. I'm not saying that this altar will free you. But what if that woman would have said, if Jesus can just heal me by telepath, I believe, Jesus, heal me. No, faith without works is dead. She got on her hands and knees, I believe, and she crawled and she reached out and she touched the hem of that garment. And Jesus said, you are made whole. So, Father, I pray for wholeness in hearts and minds today. And I pray that people would stop bowing to circumstances, to situations, financial opposition, opposition in their career, problems in their family, hereditary things that they've inherited. I pray that it would be stopped and broken and defeated today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I believe that as we acknowledge you, you're going to direct our paths, and your paths drip with abundance. And I pray these things in the mighty and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who defeated death, hell, and the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And we declare you, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and our Savior. We honor you today, and we pray these things in your precious name. Now, would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you and give you his name. And may you not live in the lie of lack, but in the paths of abundance that Jesus Christ has supplied for you through the work that he did on the cross. And I pray these things over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. A few quick things, really quickly. I know we have a lot of announcements, a lot of things going on. I want to remind you of a few things. Number one, the sanctuary is open every single night from 6 to 7 p.m. for prayer during the fast. This Thursday, we will gather together and we'll worship from 6 to 7 p.m. But all the other nights we'll be gathering together and praying. Also, any gentlemen that want to help on the bathrooms in the back, we're trying to get the bathrooms completed by a work day this Saturday. But if you want to help every night this week at 6 p.m.? Shane had to leave. Every night this week around 6 p.m. Starting in Tuesday. What's that? That starting Tuesday, like I was saying, so, you couldn't hear me. I'm just joking. Starting Tuesday, we will be working in the back to get those bathrooms done. I want to say thank you to everyone that has helped with that. And then there's one more as well. Wednesday nights have started back. Brother Dale brought the first word of 20. Where'd he go? There he is. Dale, the man behind the curtain. He's back there, I swear. Brother Dale brought the first word of the year on Wednesday night. We're so thankful for that. But this Wednesday night, we'll be gathering together to have service at 6:30 p.m. We would love to have you. Is there anything else that I'm missing? Okay, I think that's it. Love you guys. Go with God. Be blessed. Thank you for being here today. We love you so much.